Hi and welcome to the Making the Media podcast. I'm your host and my name is Craig Wilson. On behalf of the team, thank you so much for joining us for our latest episode. Now, here at Making the Media, we like to think we bring you different international perspectives every episode on the key challenges facing the news, media and entertainment business. So after having guests from Europe, the Americas and Asia, we are thrilled to be joined by our first guest from the Asia-Pacific region. Gina McEwen is the innovation editor at Australian public broadcaster ABC. She works as part of the ABC Innovation Lab, which is an incubator for digital ideas, strategy, and research and development within the organisation. At a time when all broadcasters are seeking new ways to engage with audiences and how to take advantage of new developments in technologies like artificial intelligence and machine learning, the ABC Innovation Lab is at the forefront of experimentation. I began by asking Gina to explain her background and how her career took her to her current role.
I am a journalist and producer. I've got a background in broadcast journalism. I suppose the way I started is more in narrative, storytelling across audio platforms. But really, I sort of then started to venture into what we then called multi-platform, probably about 6 years ago, which is now just digital. It was really exciting for me to start thinking about, story first and really about how, what is the best platform for this story? What are the ways in which we can tell it in a new way? What are the ways in which we can push the boundaries of how to tell the story to reach new audiences? Because I think that in the news cycle, often, there is a real place for news reporting, obviously. It's incredibly important, but where you're trying to tell certain stories that may not be, ones that are clickable or, that sort of thing, tougher topics, I suppose, that might, some people might be avoiding. It's about thinking of creative ways to try and tell those stories and to really get the audience to connect with the narrative of it and then realize, the kind of wider issues that are attached to that. That's always kind of been the center of like the way that I approach journalism. And I think that I've ended up in the Innovation Lab because in an editorial role because of the way in which I approach it, thinking about new ways to tell stories. So it's always like, what is the new technology that's out there? How could we experiment with this? Even if we're in a sphere of, if you're in a program, a radio program, thinking about, okay, how can we cut this a different way that might make this a modular piece of content? Or how can we use animation? Or how can we use TikTok? That sort of thing. You can really innovate within your space. So it doesn't have to be, big VR sort of projects or something like that. It's always trying to think about within your sphere, what are the ways in which you can innovate? And so I really enjoy helping and working, collaborating with content teams and journalists in making that happen.
Well, you mentioned there about the Innovation Lab. Tell us a little bit about that and also about the kind of people that work there. So you're obviously in an editorial role, but I'm guessing there's people from other sort of backgrounds as well.
Yeah, and it's really, I think as well, that's one of the things that I enjoy most is working with multidisciplinary teams, because it sort of started about 10 years ago where you had developers and designers starting to come in and work, be embedded with journalists to think about digital storytelling. And I think it's a really important combination to have, because the ideas kind of flow across the whole team, across different backgrounds and disciplines. And so in the Innovation Lab, where I work at the ABC, we're, a small cross-functional team. Well, we're definitely growing. I wouldn't say we're small anymore, but it's really about the editorial side, which is sort of the content side, I suppose, which is the team that I lead. So there in that team, we've got a TikTok producer, we've got, a sort of more, a digital print journalist. We've got a distribution expert. So there's really the content side, and we sort of think about the pilots, how we're going to execute the story, what are the different ways that could travel, really thinking about the audience and how they'll react with the story. And then the other arm of the Innovation Lab is the strategy arm, because technically we sit in the, strategy division at the ABC. And so the strategy arm of the Innovation Lab is made up of content strategists, product specialists, really thinking about and, you know, data analysts, really thinking about, you know, what is the forecasting for content? Where are the audiences going to be? Who are the audiences that we need to reach? So they're kind of strategizing around, you know, what are the audiences the ABC should be speaking to or can be speaking to, but we may not be currently, or we have content that isn't currently talking to those audiences in an amplified way. So they're really, you know, excellent and clever at really thinking about the forecasting of like the near future and the far future as well. And they we definitely work collaboratively together as well. I think the ideas all come, you know, some of the strategy folks in our team work on pilots and experiments with us. And it just kind of, you know, is spread across the team in that way. We all work together.
How important is it to have that sense of experimentation and perhaps taking risks as part of what you do?
Yeah, it's, I think it's essential because, you know, the media industry obviously is very stretched. We are really stretched at the moment, trying to get the stories out there, you know, across the board. And so I think the Innovation Lab is a really excellent place for the ABC to be able to experiment. And really, you know, the risk is there. As for whether we're not sure how it's going to go, will this speak to the audience? What will the content be like? And so part of that is the measurement process. So, you know, typically when you work in a production team or work in the media, you're making the story, you publish the story. We kind of have two extra parts to that that bookend it really. We're thinking about, you know, what is the audience? What are we trying to do here? Well, how should we experiment in this space? And I can use some examples in a second. But then we actually do the making of it, which is, you know, either within our team or we partner up with other teams around the building to make the content. And then at the end of it, we measure. So we have a really great part of working in this team, which is the we do user testing. We look at the data. You know, we really talk about what actually worked and didn't work about that piece of content. And then we can share those learnings with the rest of the ABC. And that then goes into, you know, yes, we should go ahead with this, or we'll do something slightly different with this, or, you know, it's a really excellent part of it to be able to just experiment with that. And it's sort of what we, you know, there's a catchphrase in the team is that we test strategy in reality, you know, like we're thinking about what is the ABC strategy and then we do the thing. But that also means you are taking risks and, you know, doing new things. So it's a big part of what we do.
Before we come on to maybe talk about some examples, I just want to pick up on something that you said there, because we recently did a podcast with the CBC in Canada. And one of the things that one of the guests there talked about was you can't argue with data. You know, it's black and white. It's right there in front of you. So how important is it to have that data and to look at the kind of feedback that you get to then inform what you do for the future?
I think it's really useful. I'm always someone who's like, there are the rules and then there's rules to be broken, which is always fun, you know? So yes, the data will say something, and obviously it's incredibly important. I think it's really will help inform future strategies. You obviously use data from other companies or, you know, audience forecasting to inform then what you're doing and the trending. So I think it's absolutely essential. But yeah, I think there's also space where content makers, you know, can experiment, you know, with they're sort of the experts in the area as well. And so there's, you know, this sense that sometimes the audience want to be surprised by things too. So I think there's that space as well within looking at, you know, it'll be very informed, the strategy that you're using, but then having an element of surprise there in the content making is always fun as well. But yeah, data is king, obviously. It's really important.
So talk us through perhaps a project or a pilot that you've been involved in recently that maybe sets out the kind of work that you do.
Yeah, so I think we're really, the one that really comes to mind, because it's been a very interesting and collaborative project across the ABC, has been what we, you know, internally call the TikTok incubator. But it's really about making a master brand account for the ABC. We have some other smaller accounts with specific teams like Behind the News and Triple J, which is our youth network for 18 to 25. So they have their own TikTok accounts, but there are other teams across the building who have been wanting to experiment with TikTok and really had the desire to. And so it was really about how can we facilitate this experimentation in a space where is representative of the ABC without creating, you know, a million accounts, because the ABC is a very big organization. So the TikTok incubator came about through two people in our team. Chloe Watson and Emma Lawson came on board as the TikTok producer. And really what that's about is upskilling content makers in making vertical video. And they were able to come on board, you know, in different phases through the pilot over 12 months. So they'd come on board for 3 months. They were, you know, taught how to make vertical video, and then they're able to publish and make the content and get feedback from the TikTok experts, and then also be able to see the audience reaction and data and what the comments were and that sort of thing, which will help inform them then publishing again. And so by the end of their period, their phase, they'd be able to say, well, yes, we think we're prepared to have our own TikTok account. The data shows that. We are able to facilitate that sort of thing. Or they can stay on the master brand account and keep publishing, or they might reassess the team structure. So it really helps to have a sandpit for the teams to play around in what's obviously an incredibly important platform for younger audiences.
One thing you mentioned earlier on that I wanted to ask about is the story remains central to everything that you do. You know, it's still about the story. It's just about different ways of telling it. So from when people are coming to work, for example, you know, in the sort of TikTok incubator that you've said, they're obviously coming perhaps from a different mindset, different genre of telling stories. So how do you work with them to get them into this kind of way? Because TikTok has become an incredibly important platform, you know, across the board for many organizations, which I think when TikTok first came around, people wouldn't necessarily have seen it as being a battleground for news, but that's kind of where it's become. So how do you move them into that sort of mindset about, this is still about telling a story, it's simply about telling it in a different way?
I think it is through the experiment of show rather than tell, I think. So I think you allow them, you can educate as much as possible. And this comes down to the expertise of Emma Lawson in my team, who's the TikTok producer, because I think you need people who are from the demographic who can hit the tone, because it's very easy to be terrible on TikTok. I think so it's really important to have the right experts in that field, and that's really respecting that the younger demographic and trusting them to make great stuff. And so I think, you know, with teams who are from more traditional shows or areas and divisions, it's about that, you know, education part of it, the training part, and then just having a go, really, and then being able to go, oh yeah, actually, and reflecting on that and being, you know, talking about it and really thinking about different ways and trying out new stuff as they continue on through it. And I think that's that really. And also, we're talking about during the incubator as well, there was a lot of discussion between the teams when they were first starting out, you know, what was working, what wasn't working, what's trending, what are some kinds of things that we could try out. There's a team at the ABC, which is the social media strategy team as well. And so they're keeping an eye on, you know, trends and sort of what are some events that we can kind of, I suppose they're called tentpole events, that we can kind of capitalize on as the ABC, you know, be a part of and really represent the ABC as a trusted brand that we are to provide really great content. Yeah.
You mentioned there about the brand of the ABC, and I think this is a big thing for people who would be classed as maybe traditional organisations. You know, obviously here in the UK, we have the BBC that's been around for a long time. I mentioned CBC in Canada, obviously ABC in Australia and others. And it is about utilising that brand. But that brand can also be associated with perhaps an older audience. So is part of what you're trying to do about assessing the type of audience that certain content would appeal to in a way to broaden the reach of the ABC?
I think it's really important for any traditional media organization to experiment and try out where there is a platform with an audience that's growing, you know, the 18 to 25s, it's really important to experiment in that space. And so, yes, I think for the ABC, like a big focus for the Innovation Lab is Gen Z, is that 18 to 25s. And so therefore, let's have a go, you know, content on TikTok. And I think that, I think it's about working with the TikTok producer and the team and having that information exchange, where the traditional content teams can look at their slate and say, we think this story could work. The TikTok producer can then talk with them about how that might be executed. Is that a good idea? What's the way in which we could tell this story that would really fit the tone of the platform? And so I don't think it's about saying, oh, we need to redo, you know, the ABC's content won't work on this. It's about shaping it in order for it to, you know, to work. And not all stories will work for the platform, but it's really about, that's the trick of it really, is trying to figure out the tone and, you know, keeping the audience entertained, surprised, and hopefully educated.
One thing I was going to say is that news is obviously a very collaborative operation. You know, there are lots of people that can be involved in it. There's lots of teams that are involved in it. What I'm interested in is where do you see the ideas and innovation coming from? Because in some organizations, that's maybe coming from the more technical side, and other organizations, is it being driven by the editorial side? So I'm interested in where you think that drive for innovation and trying to experiment really comes from.
I think it comes from both. It's the desire from content makers to be in the space where the audience is. You know, how can we talk to the audience? How can we present our stories on that platform, whatever it is, you know, where we need to be. The technical side, I think, yeah, it's part of the forecasting of saying this is a growing space for the audience. What can the ABC do here? What is our place there? Really thinking about the strategy side of things. And I think we have a division here as well, digital product, where we have, for example, artificial intelligence and machine learning experts that are really on the forefront of that technology. And so we're really speaking with them. It's part of what the Innovation Lab does, is really, it's kind of like a central hub between all of those teams as well. So we're constantly speaking to digital product to really find out, you know, where are the trends, what should we be looking at, and what is the latest technology, and then thinking about where are those teams where we might be able to experiment with that. So it's kind of a two-way street, that one. Yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned AI and ML, and, you know, as you can imagine at the moment, there's a huge amount of focus, particularly about artificial intelligence since the launch of ChatGPT-3 and Bard and other things that are now going around. So you know, what do you see as the way that AI can actually, you know, help journalists and editorial teams?
I think we've been working in AI for, you know, over 12 months now, and I think the explosion of ChatGPT is great because everybody's kind of on board to a degree, you know, understanding the possibility. But we've been running a few projects, and I think there's a lot of opportunity for media production. We're thinking about it as AI-assisted technology. You know, it's not here to replace roles. It's to help us do our jobs. So it's really, we're thinking about it, it's almost the same revolution as when the internet came in. It really changed the roles, you know, in the media. And so how can we use AI in a way that will, you know, assist us in doing our jobs? And so for us, there's quite a few tracks that we're kind of thinking about, I suppose. There's, you know, it goes across, obviously, the technology side of the business, like we've been talking about, with, you know, things like metadata and labeling and that sort of thing, of making content more discoverable. And then I think it goes down to, there's also part of it what, you know, we call, I suppose, creative AI, which is making images and video and helping to edit and that sort of thing. You know, what are the tools we could use there that will help, you know, our content makers? There's also a part of it too in with investigations or journalism in reporting in general, things like document searches, fact checking, you know, monitoring of social media, lead generation. There's a lot of different tools that we've been looking at and talking to teams about potentially testing. And there's also another channel that we've been looking at around accessibility. I think AI is really important, and there's been some great work done by other members of our team as well around accessibility and thinking about transcription, for example, or translation of content as it goes live, for example, different languages. There's a lot of different opportunities, I think, for this content summarization. And I think, you know, so we're looking at different projects across the business, you know, in those areas. But there's also an aspect to it, I think, that's really interesting around, you know, what are the kind of editorial guidelines that we have around AI now, because it's so new. Well, you know, I say that in the sense, but it's, you know, the explosion is new, I suppose. We've been looking at it for a little while, and I'm sure my colleagues in the AI and ML division would say it's not new. But I think for the majority of the population, these tools are pretty new. And so it's really thinking about, you know, the guidelines. What are the guidelines for content makers in using these tools? There's considerations around IP, obviously, and copyright, I think, that are starting to bubble up, you know, everywhere around this sort of generative AI. So there's a lot of interesting questions that's really, and opportunities that are really spread across, you know, the whole organization that I think the media are really grappling with at the moment. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting what you say there about seeing it as an opportunity. I think, you know, some people have seen it, oh my goodness, you know, this thing can write stories for us. And as a consequence of that, it's going to replace lots of people and things. But the majority of people I've spoken to in this kind of area see it as it's actually something that's going to enable journalists to do different things and perhaps focus more on, you know, the creative side of what it is, as opposed to other elements of it. Is that maybe how you see it perhaps panning out?
Yeah, I don't think you can replace, there's an essential part of journalism that you can't replace, obviously. It's the analysis, it's the human in the loop, as we're calling it. And the AI and ML engineers totally agree with that. There definitely needs to be a human in the loop, that checkpoint before things go public, you know, the editors using that same journalistic and editorial rigor that we apply to all of our stories, really using that as well to, in the use of these tools, thinking about, you know, where is the data sourced from that has, you know, created the AI or been involved in the development of the AI. And when the AI, you know, spits out results or provides suggestions, it's really using that rigor around those as well. So I don't think we can replace humans in that way.
So looking forward a little bit, do you know where do you think the next innovation is coming from? Is it AI that's going to drive things? Is it different platforms that are going to come along? You know, what's your own thoughts on that?
Of course, there will be new platforms coming along. There always is, you know, just when you think this is going to be the biggest one, like TikTok, I'm sure there's another one just around the corner. I think AI and ML technology is a revolution, you know, with the way in which we'll be making content in the media. So it's really thinking about the ways in which we want to use that technology. Those two, I think, you know, really there will be new platforms, there will be new AI and ML tools coming out. So it's really keeping abreast of that, definitely.
When we talk about stories, going back to something we talked a little bit about earlier on, and the kind of different ways that it can be told, what are those kind of ways? Is it about an immersive experience? Is it about just providing different links to something to explain a story, you know, a little bit further? You know, what are the kind of things that you're looking at beyond obviously the kind of work on TikTok that we've talked about, that you see as actually providing that, I guess, richer experience for an audience that perhaps would attract them in a different way?
I suppose for me, it's thinking about the story as the foundation. You know, what are the really strong elements within that? Is it the personal stories? Is it the imagery? What other technologies are around that could potentially amplify this story? And then there's sort of that step beyond as well in thinking about what are the distribution strategies that we can put in place to make sure this content could be out to the audiences where we want it to reach. How could it be surprising for a new one? You know, whether that's thinking about it from the very early stage of production. Is it something that should be, you know, should we cover something on the ground using a TikTok reporter? Should we cut up this audio story into different segments so that it's modular, you know, and can travel to all different parts and be in different places? Really thinking about it's a new way of thinking, I suppose, when you're making a story. But yeah, it's always sort of thinking about what are the kind of key human elements to the actual story I'm trying to tell? What is the narrative that will really connect? And then you can really amplify it using different technologies and knowing what's out there and how you can reach them and reach the audiences.
And what kind of response are you getting from the teams within the ABC to the kind of work that you do?
I think it's been really positive. It's about, I think there are people in the building who are really wanting to innovate. And so knowing that there is an area in the ABC where that can be enabled, I think is really empowering. And so being able to connect with those teams to help them do what they want to do alongside the actual day job, I suppose, is a really important part of the ABC and making sure you know, that we remain relevant and we're in front of the audiences and new audiences. For other teams at the ABC, it's great that we exist because, you know, the day-to-day of doing your job is really tough. I think sometimes, you know, you're making the content, you're serving the audience, but then you're able to do this great thing and experiment with it and collaborate with a team that's here to help them do that and to really enable innovation.
Yeah, I mean, certainly one of the things I remember in my career was working with a journalist who had been there for 20, 30 years, and he went and covered the story, and he did it in a completely different way to the way that I would have covered the story. And he said to me afterwards, it's like, never think that you know everything. And this was one of the great things that I found in my career, was actually thinking about different ways to tell a story on television. You know, it was a really important thing. And I think that whole concept of, you know, lifelong learning, about trying to do things in different ways, I think is something that, you know, I still think that journalism at the moment is a very exciting time. It's different from how it's been in the past, but I do think it's a very exciting time to be within the industry.
Yeah. And I think it's this, you know, it can be a bit overwhelming sometimes to think about, do I have to do all of these things? How can I innovate in all these different ways? What does this mean for me? But I really think it's about just looking at the sphere that you're in, and it's like, what are the ways in which you want to do something new? And then looking around at what are the technologies that might help you do that, or who are the teams in your organization, if you're in a bigger one, who might enable that. And that's where I think the Innovation Lab comes in.
It's a really fascinating subject, and Gina, and thank you so much for talking to us. There is one question that I ask everyone in the podcast, so I will ask you, which is, what is it, if anything, which keeps you up at night?
So the thing that keeps me up at night, other than my kids, is thinking about news avoidance, right? In the last couple of years, I think that, you know, it's been really heavy, obviously, with COVID. And I think there's a lot of people turning away from the news. And so for me, it's really thinking about what are the ways in which we can connect with audiences that still, you know, we're doing our job of reporting the news and, you know, documenting and covering what's going on in the world. But how do we do that in a way that's engaging for those audiences who are turning away? That's really the puzzle that I think is keeping me up at night.
News avoidance is a subject I think we'll discuss further on future episodes of the podcast too. Thanks to Gina for giving us her insight on the world of news innovation. What do you think? Let us know. You can get in touch via any of the Avid social channels. You can follow me on Twitter or Instagram. I am Craig AW1969. Or you can email us. We are makingthemedia@avid.com. We want as many people as possible to listen, of course, so please leave a review, like, and share the podcast with your friends and colleagues to spread the word. We really value your support. Check out the show notes for links to another podcast with Maral Yousafi from Vice News, where she discusses their desire to experiment, and also to a recent webinar from Avid, where we discussed workflows in the cloud. That's all from us for now. Thanks to our producer, Matt Diggs, thanks to Gina, and thanks to you, of course. Join me, Craig Wilson, next time for the latest news from the people making the media.